A man become preeminent, he is expected to have enthusiasms. 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 What are mine? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Thanks.
Baseball.
Hi, welcome into the Full Hitter Podcast. This is the main event recap of Fab. I'll be bringing in the bullpen guru himself very shortly. Just wanted to remind everyone to come check out the Full Hitter Patreon, patreon.com. Go to put Full Hitter Fantasy into the search bar, or you can check out my pinned tweet. It'll take you right there. I do daily recaps of the box scores, some trendy hitters, deep dives into pitchers, as well as two lineup pods per week to help you to set your NFBC lineups. It really helps you for your daily leagues as well. And if you want to reach up into the upper tier, have a Fab article and Fab pod, and also a starting pitching pod with Matt Modica, where we talk about pretty much every starting pitcher in the upcoming week, mostly double starts, two starts 2 weeks ahead of time, all that fun stuff. So come check it out, and appreciate the recent ratings and reviews. Goes a long way, as they say. So with that bullshit aside, what's up, Dom?
Hey, what's going on, Rob?
Oh, you know, it's one of those days, you know, where you just...
Yeah.
I think a lot of people checked out today, and it's like, all right, that's all I need to see from baseball today, so see you later. I'm going to go read the book I've been looking to read, or put on a comedy special to not think about how many times you have to take Wilson Contreras out of your lineup. I think that was the biggest one for most of us today. Yeah, so it was a wave of emotion. Dom went to the beach. That was like the height of the day. It's like nothing can happen to me today. I'm in my favorite spot in the world. And then Wilson Contreras just, you know, shake that upside down. Of course, those Freehold Cardinals have him like basically helping the perceived velocity of the pitcher by moving his hand into the flight of the batter's swing, but whatever. What else happened today? My most popular tweet in like 9 years is about dry swallowing fucking pills. So I guess either that was a big hit or I have to step up my fantasy baseball tweets.
Yeah, I kind of knew today was going to be a weird day. Once the first thing I saw on Twitter was you talking about swallowing pills and then like it having like 15 responses, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
I know. I wasn't expecting 40 comments about dry swallowing. I couldn't believe it. I was like, this is wild. Yeah. Like, it must have really struck a nerve with people. Like, I really, and that's the thing is, I really don't. I like Dave McDonald was like, how many people have you seen swallow pills? Like, I've seen a decent amount of people swallow pills, but it's like a question I'm actually curious about, and I've asked a lot of people. Like, it's not just something I discovered yesterday. It's been eating at me for years, and I literally have asked a lot of people and pretty much only gotten one or two dry swallowers. But not on Twitter. Everyone's a dry swallower on Twitter. People chew them as well, which is fascinating. And it was just a real big learning experience for me, because my pet peeve, like I said, was in movies or TV shows. They just like shovel it out and they go into their hand and they do a quick pop back with their head, like, and it, yeah, and you see the gulp, you see the dramatic gulp, and you're like, oh, really? Like, they could do that? I need more than a glass. I guess my throat is not as lubed as other people, or maybe my, you know, the opening is just not there for me. But I like water. I had one bad thing as a child where I pretty much choked, and you know, probably that first moment of fear where you're like, oh shit, there's no oxygen coming to me, like, what do I do? And then I had another situation once when I was shoveling hydroxycuts to fucking lose weight, and I had not a lot of water in my car, and I took like this little sip, and that was the end of my water. I'm driving to the gas station to get a water, and it was stuck, and I fucking
Oh,
burped,
shit.
and all the powder like came out of my mouth, and I could still revisit that. It's like that first, the first time you threw up drinking, like whatever that was. Like you can't go back to it, or you have that thing in your head. Well, that's the same thing with dry swallowing for me. And so anyway, I just thought it was funny. I felt like the people who drink, who take pills with water are underrepresented in movies and TV shows. So I'm speaking up for them all.
The only th the what I was thinking about was the Dumb and Dumber. The gas man who's always taking his
The gas.
like how the fuck do you know I got
Oh,
gas? that's what I was thinking about the whole time, but
that's hysterical.
yeah.
Ah,
But yeah,
so
we gotta be
anyway.
careful with where we go when we're talking about, lubing our throats and throat exercises and stuff like that. We could go to a real weird spot.
We're in a weird spot, but this is,
Yeah, for sure, for
whatever.
sure.
It's
Yeah.
we need a little comedy hour, every now and then. Can't be so
Yep.
serious all the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about this fab nonsense.
I mean, I was like, speaking of the emotions and stuff like that, I was like, I was riding pretty high coming off Sunday.
You were high. Yes, you were.
Everyone, everyone, the joke is like Domi Doomsday. I'm like always just freaking out about my teams or, any little like guy gets pulled from a game. I'm freaking out thinking that they're hurt and they're done for the year and blah, blah, blah. So yesterday, everyone's like, they're like, dude, Dom, like, what the hell's going on? You're in. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, no, like, Scott's not going anywhere. Like, Caminero's coming up soon. Let's fucking go. And then everyone's like, what's getting into you? And I was just like, hey, retail therapy works, man. You go out, you spend money, and it changes your mood. So now I'm a big proponent of retail therapy after how my Sunday went.
I like that thought of retail therapy. Definitely works. Definitely works. I mean, it always,
Yeah, short-term, short-term,
yeah, short-term satisfaction. It's fine. It's well-intentioned. And yeah, I know you went shopping hard on Christian Scott. We got him in our Ultimate League, the team that just not meant to be. Oh, God.
it's a little snake bitten to say the least, but yeah, it's like, obviously Scott wasn't available in a couple of my mains where he was legally or illegally added, depending on your view of it. But I got him in my other every other one of my Fab leagues. And before
Wow.
at like 10 p.m. I like sent a text to a couple of our buddies, and I was just like, I'm very excited to not get Scott in any league. And then as I'm going through the Fab results for each team, I'm like, seeing my highlight at the top of every pickup for Scott. I was like, holy shit, I got Scott in every single league.
Damn.
So, depending on the need, I was over 300 in every team, but
Okay, I like it.
depending
Go,
on
just go for it.
well, I honestly didn't, I just didn't expect that I was going to get him in everyone. I figured I would get him in, one or two, but in order to do that, I didn't know which one it was going to be, so I had to kind of set my bids aggressively, and ended up getting him everywhere, as low as 307 in one of my mains, and as high as 462 that we went to in the ultimate. So yeah, I'm now officially in the Christian Scott business, and anyone on Twitter that's talking about him getting sent down for Tyler McGill will hear from me in due time. So yeah, we're not gonna have any of the Tyler McGill shit. We're not gonna have any of the innings limit stuff. We're full go. Let's go.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing. What part of the bid was, being realistic about the situation. And I have Scott in several DCs, and I know when there was a lot of tweets out there about getting Scott up, I was just like a realistic Mets fan. Like, they're going to get as many innings as they can out of these scrubby arms like Adrian Hauser. And until he's too terrible enough, then Scott will come up. And he did. Mm-hmm. And I think that had to be factored in. I mean, you just have to think about that naturally. McGill, Peterson, Senga. Obviously, Peterson's never been a threat. McGill is either hurt, has one good start and falls off, or sucks. Either one of those three, and he's not consistent. But again, yeah, it's part of the process of thinking about his situation. I think just to like really go through it and make sure you feel confident about it. And then, you know, you watched him pitch, and it was just, I mean, I've seen some of his minors game, but obviously when you see him do it against MLB guys, it was pretty marvelous to see. It was right. Really it's like a well-executed arsenal. It's got a little bit of like crossfire slingshot, but he's, everything's money. Like the way the ball travels to like different parts of the zone, like the fastball away, high in the zone to right, he's just exploded at the, like the last minute, you know, just right in, just boom. And it was very exciting to watch. And I think the moxie on the mound, the way he was handling himself, couple of little smirks at the batters, at the umps, you know, he had a little bit of that personality to boot. And I thought that was awesome too. You know, you get that bumps, that's like a half a SGP in my.
Yeah, no, he's definitely super composed. Like, you've seen guys that come up and, you know, they're facing a big league lineup in a big league field, and you know, you could tell they got shit in their pants. Like, this, he did not. He was, you know, I think, you know, he looked like he was locked in, and you know, just like seemed very cool, calm, and collected. So, yeah, and obviously, like, you know, like you talked about, thinking about what realistically he can provide from an innings perspective, I had that in mind. The other component of it, you know, like you and I talked about, was just we were sitting on a ton of money on a team that we lost Strider, Snell's been out, we lost Musgrove again this weekend, or we lost Musgrove as well this weekend. So we really needed a shot in the arm for our pitching. We're both Mets fans. Also, that kind of played into it, but also, you know, I laid out like who realistically we could like spend money on to, with, you know, from a pitching perspective with that money, because that's what we need. And you know, it's a lot of Tommy John returnees and stuff like that. We don't know necessarily when those guys are going to come up. Scott's here now, so I think that ultimately played into it as well. It's like when I laid out the names, and it was, you know, DeGrom, Kershaw, you know, Tyler Molly, Luis Garcia, Jeffrey Springs, Rasmussen, blah, blah, blah. We don't know when none of these guys are particularly close. It's not like anybody's like throwing rehab starts or anything like that. So it's like, what are we going to do? Sit on, you know, $500 to bid on these guys in August? Like, we needed something now. So that kind of made me even feel more comfortable, because it was just like, we could pass on this opportunity if we're worried that he's only going to be limited to, you know, 90 innings or so. But those are 90 innings now, and we can, you know, if he gets shut down in August or September, we can pick up somebody then that's coming up. So it's like, you know, that process, I think, helped me feel more comfortable, not just in our league, but in the other leagues that he was available for me, where it was like looking at a more macro level of like who realistically could come up in the coming weeks and months from the pitcher side, and really feeling like not sure when those guys are going to come up and like what their roles are going to be and what, you know, how they're going to perform. Like, this is a 25, 26 year old kid that's, you know, at least that first start was dominant. It'll be interesting to see how he does this weekend against Atlanta. But you know, it's like thinking about, hey, what am I actually going to spend this money on? Instead of just being like, I don't want to spend $400. It's like, well, then what am I going to do with it? And doing that exercise kind of helped me feel comfortable. Like when I laid it out, then I said in my email to you, I was like, all right, so we're going to go like 400 plus on him, right? Like, and you know, so we'll see how it works.
Yeah, I think you hit that nail on the head with the returnees. In theory, it was like a nice thought at the beginning of the year. We're gonna have all these guys, but you know, we don't know when we're getting them, like you said. And comes up prospect wise, you know, Jackson Job, Cade Horton. Cade Horton just got the AAA. Job is, you know. The Tigers are stacked, so in theory he should probably be pitching, you know, in the majors because he's good enough. But then you have
It's not
Luke
a spot.
Peterman, Waldrep, Bubba Chandler, Robbie Snelling, Will Warren. I mean, it's not really like a lot of wow, like last year it was one after the other. So I think that it doesn't mean, oh, it doesn't translate into, oh, now you spend 400 on Christian Scott. But like you said, when you lay that out, in certain, and I think that's the thing, you can, everyone's got a certain team context or reason that's driven behind it. You know, if you've had experience with high price pitches before and it's worked out for you, you probably have a little bit of a predisposed bias to it. Last year I had two experiences. Well, three. Chris Bubich wasn't really super expensive, but it was expensive enough, and he got hurt. So
Well,
you still,
that was before the market was set,
that was
right?
before the
Like,
market was set,
yeah.
and it was pretty heavy for him. Like, and he's actually on a rehab assignment too, man. That's gonna
Right.
be,
Yeah,
that's good.
he was a guy I highlighted as a returnee. I was like,
A
so if
returnee.
he'll,
You should join. You should fab all those guys and rename your team name to the returnees. And then I had Bryce Miller, who I know I had a discussion with a couple of people on Twitter last year about this, who were like disappointed in what he did. And like, he had 130 innings pitched of a 1.14 whip. And yeah, that's hard to just get off the wire.
Yeah,
By
100%.
streaming, by any means. And that's why it's hard to quantify. I think this is what we've been discussing in the Discord in the Rob Silver's Magic Fab Formula thread. It's like it's so hard to really quantify how much someone became, like, was worth for you on your team, like, or is worth in Fab. And for me, like, Bryce Miller was a set and forget a pitcher, and I think that's as that was huge. It was exactly what I needed on those teams. I got him, you know. And then I had Mason Miller, who was not a good experience at all. So you know, I feel like in certain spots it makes sense to go for if you feel like that's what your team needs and you think this pitcher can give you a big impact. If he throws 80 innings and it's a 3.2 ERA with 90 Ks, that's pretty good. You know, that's gonna impact your ratios and a lot of things. So, I only got him after the ultimate. I didn't get him in any 15 team leagues, so I only got him in an OC. And that was my CLQ. So he's
There you
part of the
go.
CLQ crew at 114.89 in the OC. Could you never know what they've been on the OCs?
Yeah, I went 316 in my OC, and backup was a
Jesus.
120, so that hurt.
You're nuts. You're
I don't
a
fucking know
crazy cat.
OCs, man. I don't know
Yeah.
OCs.
No,
Like,
it's
I just,
crazy.
you
It's
know, it's like
crazy.
it's my first OC in a couple years, because of the CLQ, and I'm so 15 team focused. But you know, here's the thing,
It's
is like I see the moves that are made, and like, I mean, you know, knock on wood, like my offense is pretty much like all just everyday hitters I don't really have many like decisions to make at least thus far, and I've been pretty healthy. So it's kind of like, but I see the moves that are made, and it's like if I need to get a bet that I need a week at a time in OC, I can get them for a buck. So, I like view that, and I'm like I feel like in the OC I can 100% get anything I need on offense for a week at a time for a dollar. The pitching is what I really want to spend up on and feel comfortable with, and bench guys that I don't like their start in a week if I need to. So, I don't even regret that. I mean, obviously I'd like a little bit of that money back, but I'm not like kicking myself over it.
Highest bid is 677, 538, 504, 488, 471. Pretty juicy. Went for a median winning bid of 359. It's the same exact number that Bryce Miller was last year. In a couple of less leagues, obviously, because he was scooped up or drafted in some other team. So, a lot of money.
Yeah,
A lot of money.
yeah, I mean, I was definitely using that number as kind of like my barometer for this was, last year, and it
Bobby
could
Miller,
be,
Bryce Miller, all those
yeah,
guys.
like last year at that point, we'd had a couple of these guys already had come up, right? Like we had already had Taj, we'd already had Bybee, we'd already had somebody I can't remember who else, but it's kind of already been like maybe it was Mason Miller as well. But the market had been set, whereas this year I don't think we've seen that like big prospect arm come up. So I kind of was just referring to that in terms of my bid setting for Christian Scott, and I think that was helpful because again, like I referred to last week, it's you're not just like putting your finger up in the air and taking a guess. You're looking at what's been done in the past and kind of giving yourself a barometer to measure against. So at least for me and anybody that's listening, at least it kind of gives you some historical data to base it off of. And I know every week in your Fab article, you kind of outline who was added, this time last year, gives you context. It gives you talk about what was spent, and then obviously I kind of also look back last year and see who we spent on. And I think I really like that because it, and we, I mean, we can just do that now, right? So like you mentioned, Bryce Miller was added in 53 leagues. I have his average price at 355, but I don't know. Maybe I was missing something, but it's
I got
we're within a
median, so
couple
I know
bucks,
it's
right?
different. So
Okay. Median. So I have I just have the straight average 355. So
yep,
that's yeah,
same
very
thing.
very close regardless. So I agree. I think that that was one of the best pitching ads of the year last year, just given the fact that he stayed healthy, performed well. Granted, it wasn't the strikeout numbers that we wanted, but the ratios were very good on good team, and it was a lot of volume. So I think that if you asked anybody that added him, they would say, they were happy with the return that they got. The second most money last year this week was on Matt Mervis in 44 leagues for an average price of 224. Obviously, that did not pan out. Hasn't panned out again this year. And now today, with
See ya.
Bellinger back, Bellinger hit a home run. Seems like he's not going to be up for a while again. JP France was added in all the leagues last year for an average price of 76 bucks. I don't know. I mean, interestingly enough, he actually got hurt today, so he's out for a while, but I don't know. I think he probably performed a little better than what I was expecting
He did,
last year.
yeah.
So it's probably worthwhile, given that it was a fifth of what Bryce Miller cost. Then the fourth most added was Michael Garcia ac across all leagues for an average price of 73 bucks. I think that ended up being worth it as the season went on. He finished really strong. Alex Kirilloff added in 27 leagues for an average price of $67. I don't think that was worth it. Just any of those Twins ads, those corner outfield ads last year, I feel like they were really frustrating. But he's been doing all right this year. Michael King added in 14 leagues for an average price of 127. I'm assuming this was when people thought he might be closing, or could have a potential to close, because that price, I don't think he was starting yet at this point. So
No.
that price, I think, leads me to believe that it was a closer spec ad.
Yeah, I but I yeah, because he didn't start until the end of the season. I think, let's see, what did he do at that point? He was just having, oh, he just had like a nice stretch of games. He had picked, oh, that's what it is. That's what it is. He saved a game on April 27th and May 2nd, and the FAB was
Seventh.
May 7th. Yep.
Yep.
So he picked up two saves, was going two innings, an inning two thirds, racking up two, three Ks. So that was, I no, I think I had him too. I remember having him. And he was good. He was good all year round, no matter what role you had him in.
Yep.
Crazy you get like that performance that he had at the end of the season, plus like six
I know
saves.
the odds that any but the odds of people hung on to him though from that point through the end of the year, I feel like slim because Holmes kind of ran with the job. I think people went away, but all right. After that, Bleday added in 52 leagues for average price of $34. I don't think that ended up being worth it. Let's won't really Mark Leiter Jr. another closer spec. I think Pierce Johnson another closer spec. Neither of those were worth it. Tyrone Taylor, Zach Jackson, another closer spec. I don't think that was worth it. One that really stands out here, Marcell Ozuna added in 45 leagues for an average
Yep.
price of $27. That
Jeez.
is really nice. So
That was league
that was,
winners.
yeah, that's probably the best ad. Looking back at the ads from last year, thus far, that one really stands out. So.
This one only had five pickups, but Kyle Bradish was dropped, I guess, in a couple of weeks, but he was picked up five times, six times, not five times, five times in last year at this time. So I guess he had a little bit of a bad stretch and some teams have dropped him. But it's crazy just seeing some of the drops, you know, that really
Yeah.
can carry a team.
Yep. And then it's funny to see some of the names that people were adding, like Peyton Badenfield, and I think I even saw
Jeez.
like a Carlos Pena this time last year. It's like, where the fuck did Carlos Pena
What
even
are we,
play
yeah,
last
what
year?
were we doing? And then some of the dudes I feel like are constantly in and out of fab. Like JJ Bleday's name, he's always around for
He's somehow
years.
always added in 32 leagues each week.
Every week he's dropped in six, added in 20, dropped in 12, added in 30. I'm like, what the fuck? He's always around. Gavin Sheets' name, I feel like every time I look back at history and like each week I see his name. Ryan Noda, JP Sears, those kind of guys are just like
Cheers. 100%.
always there. And you're like, jeez, people just get shuffled in and out. They get used. They get used, these guys.
So, in terms of the spend this year,
Yeah, what do we
pivoting back to
got?
this year. So, this week we had about 64 grand spent throughout the entire main event contest. The average per ad was $33 still. So a slight uptick from last couple weeks, but not like crazy. And then the average spent per team was $75, which again was a pickup, but it's not a crazy pickup. When you compare it against this week last year, the average spent per team was $93 and the average ad was $39. I think a component of that was that Scott was already owned in like 20 22 or so main events. So like, you know, the spend on him would have like been double had he been available across the entire format. So I think that like suppressed it a little bit. But then, you know, in Zach's article that he covers each week, he pointed out the fact that there's like a couple of players that were in the contest last year that aren't in it this year that had like 10 teams each and had spent like $800 in fab by this point last year as well. So I think maybe just truly some of the spend was from these particular players that are no longer in the contest that were just throwing around money like crazy. So I might try to like peel out those particular players that he's called out to see like what the average spent per team was without those guys, and see how that compares. Because you know, like I would have thought the average spent per team would have been a lot higher just given the fact that we had somebody like a big ticket item. But you know, like I said, he wasn't available in all the leagues, and that certainly had an impact. But it's still like, you know, so this point, through this point, the average team spent $365. So if you have about 635, if you have 635 or more, you're, you know, I would say in a better than average spot. Last year the spend was 467 through this point. So it's a whole $100 less spent. So just a continuation of the fact that we really, you know, like I said, I don't know, maybe we're not getting that efficient. It's just that big spenders in fab are no longer in the contest throwing money around. So I think, you know, it's definitely interesting to compare the two. And, you know, as we look at it more and, you know, identify some of those nuanced things, it makes it you know, interesting. So I'll try to identify those players and kind of peel them out and see what the average spent was without those people. Maybe like next week.
All right.
But then in terms of the added players, so, you know, we kind of hammered on Scott, but not, you know, not just Scott. We had a bunch of interesting prospect call-ups that drove a lot of the spend. So, you know, Scott was added in 33 leagues for an average price of 364. But then after Scott, Tyler Black was the second most added player, added in all the leagues for an average price of $127. In addition to Black, we had Joey Loperfido in Houston, added in 56 leagues for an average price of 117. And we had Jordan Beck on Colorado, added in 49 leagues for an average price of $32. And then Jack Leiter added in 40 leagues for an average price of $32. And then Kyle Manzardo added in 2 leagues for an average price of $176. I don't know. Did you get? I ended up with, yeah, a lot of guys, different. You know, they provide different skill sets, right?
Yeah.
I was interested in Black, and I got him in one spot, but it was pretty. It wasn't like a universal, like I need to get him everywhere. I kind of looked at my teams, and I looked at, you know, where I needed some corner or third base, or, you know, some corner help or some speed help, because you know, he obviously I think is going to provide a lot of steals. He's hitting in an interesting spot, but he's kind of part of this whole Brewers rotation at the corners that I think might get tricky as Yelich comes back, because he's kind of mixing in at either first or DH right now. And then when Yelich comes back, I think he's going to eat into some DH at bats, and I don't know. So like, did you get Black anywhere? No, right?
I got Black in one main and one online championship.
Okay.
The main, I got him for $88.
Okay.
That is my worst team in the history of main event history. And actually, almost is the worst team in the main event this year. It's fucking awful. And I mentioned it. It's a huge part to do with injuries, but it's still awful besides that. Every guy I'm trying to fill with to like add plate appearances, they're just not reaching their what like my desired path to playing time for them was. So I got Berger back and I had Albies out for a brief stretch, but Strider and then the two catchers, Wilson Alvarez and Sean Murphy. It's just brutal and disgusting team. So I was looking for an impactful bat there, especially with speed, and I got him in my an OC where it was $11 unopposed.
Nice.
Yeah, so again, I know with the playing time he might not be one of those optimal OC buys, but it's my CLQ, and in the CLQ standings, overall, I'm really low in steals, and especially for that contest, and I did some math about how many like points I could gain and some steals, and there's a bunch to gain, so I'm hoping that he could just give me a little shot in the arm there. But it is interesting what's to come of that, you know, turnstile of guys that they, I mean, it came out and said that he basically was just given Oliver Dunn run because he wanted to see what he looked like before they made a determination on if he could be a player for them the rest of the season. And on the flip side, I'll ask him then, when don't you want to see, I guess you've seen enough then from Joey Ortiz that he can be a rest of the season play. Like, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, I don't understand why you say that for one person. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I don't know if it was coach speak.
Wild. Yeah, it's weird. And like, yeah, I'm like, I grabbed him and I'm already like, I don't want to say having regrets or doubts or anything like that, because who knows how it's going to work out. But like, I do have a little bit of a concern, because, you know, William Contreras is going to get the DH at bats when he's not catching, right? So he's going to mix in there. So then it's like, all right, if he's going to DH on those days, Hoskins, I think, is still going to play over Black, at least, you know, two times out of three. So like, is Black going to mix in at third with Ortiz and Dunn if they consider him a long, you know, an option long term? Is he going to get some outfield time? Like, Churio's kind of been struggling a little bit. Frelick has kind of, you know, not been doing great either. So I don't know. Hopefully he's getting like a majority, at least like maybe like 75% of the playing time. But I could see it getting a little more tricky once Yelich comes back. But you know, like I said, I think it's worth it in spots where you needed the speed. He gives you speed at unique positions. When he's going to get first base eligible soon, and obviously he has third base. So, you know, maybe it has to take some massaging where, you know, to bench him against lefties. And, but if he has a good right-handed schedule, you pop him in. So, you know, I have him in a ton of DCs. And it was kind of one of those situations where, I guess I didn't get him my CLQ main, but, you know, you want to sometimes double down on guys that you have in DCs and in some of your fab leagues. So I don't know. The other prospect hitters, Loperfido and Beck, I had no bids on. Just the Loperfido, the strikeouts, you know, that was a concern in the minors, but even though he was hitting a ton of home runs, you know, he came up and was still striking out, and the fact that he was playing only like left made me hesitant, just because I think they have a plenty of guys that can play the outfield if they feel that Loperfido is striking out too much, with Myers and McCormick when he comes back, and even, you know, putting Alvarez in left and Dubon. So I was just like, I don't want to I don't want to mess with that, especially at the price that I thought he was going to go for. And then Beck, I talked about this last week with Bouchard. These corner outfielders for the Colorado are like, it's really maddening for me to keep trying to speculate on it because I feel like I'm always either a week too early or a week too late. Beck's getting plenty of at bats, but he's not really doing anything to show that he should keep getting them. So I didn't want to see myself bid on him and then him start getting benched again, just kind of like what happened with Bouchard for me last week. So I was just like, I'm avoiding this situation entirely because, with my luck, I'd bet on Beck and then Bryant and Nolan Jones would come back this week and he would get sent back down or something like that. So wasn't in on either of those two.
Yeah, it's almost like you gotta hope that, like, if you got Jordan Beck, that he pulled the old Matt McClain of last year, where had a bad week, maybe suppressed his price, and then he takes off. But I was definitely concerned about the Nolan Jones return, and also the fact that he was striking out 60% of the time.
It's a slight concern. I don't know if that I don't know if
That's
that's good.
yeah, that's all. Obviously, it's like, listen, it was a whatever. 18 plate appearance, run, so it's obviously a small sample, but he was struggling for sure, so it was too much going on over there. And obviously they do clearly value him more than Bouchard and Goodman already, so but no, I didn't have any interest in Beck. I think I had like four like a $4 bid on him at the end of some of my streams. Not trying to keep him honest at all. That's just a re like a real bid. Funny thing about Lopefito, I was looking at Christian Encarnacion Strand last year. So Encarnacion Strand, when he was available, went for 283 max in 50 leagues. Lopefito went for 281 max. And CS had a median winning bid of 123 and Lopefito 121. So Lopefito right there with similar prices to CES. So, and I think that's interesting because CES had a lot more helium preseason than Lopefito did. Like, Lopefito got a lot of buzz at the end of the like drafting season because in spring training he was still around, he was still with the team, late, and they said a lot of good things about him. And then obviously he got off to this thundering start in the minor league, but like CS was, like a big get, and plus he had like real big DC buzz, So interesting to see that just be a kind of the same. For reference, Matt McClain went for max to 202 and a median of 118, so that was like such a good grab for everyone there, for him last year. So just. There's a lot of money for Lopefito. I was a little bit worried about like legit PT, like,
Exactly.
is this gonna
That's
be
how I felt
real?
too.
Yeah. And I definitely would love to have his power on some teams. Just wasn't willing to pay that amount. And who's the, you mentioned Jack Leiter,
Leiter. So yeah, he was added
another
to 40 leagues
youngin.
for.
Yep. Gotta, had to start this week versus Oakland. I think people were drawn to that. And then, Nathan Eovaldi's hurt. Max Scherzer, it was all rosy for him until it's not. Cody Bradford's gonna be out longer than expected. Michael Lorenzen, the fucking dud, and we know that. So yeah, I think, and I think that that was a good get by a couple of people in the last couple of weeks who just been scooping them and stashing them. I put him down in my Fab article the last 2 or 3 weeks, like, hey, he might be stashable. Like, he had that, he went back down to AAA. He dominated there, 6 innings and nine Ks again. And the thing is about him too is like he took such a big step this year in the minor leagues, and I think a lot of people kind of, took
Like
one
already
major
wrote him
league
off.
start and wrote him off because, like, oh, he must be the 2023 guy up here. But what is clearly was something different about him, all season long. So that's a nice little, was a nice move, I think. I think he might be like where you have to hold him Mike gets sent down, come back up, but I think he's just gonna be well enough to do it. He keeps going down and shoving in the minors. He'll make it hard for them. And also, too, at that point, too, you know to hold him. If he goes down into the minors and he's not good, then you could just cut him, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I picked him up fully expecting that he would get called up tomorrow as the 27th man, and then they would return him back to AAA because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't use one of his options or whatever. And then that way they can keep the roster spot. Like, even if they are planning on putting him into the rotation, which even with the injuries right now, it doesn't seem like they actually have a need for a fifth starter. Like, I think they're covered right now, even without him. But like you mentioned, I mean, with Heaney and Lorenzen, you know, if he comes up tomorrow and pitches well, maybe, you know, in a couple weeks, they might say, hey, let's just go back to lighter and put him into the rotation. And like, for the price of $26, like, I think to get the start this week and then also just like as a stash, I think that price is fine. So, you know, I got him for like $17 in one of my mains. And that was my thought process, was like, I will gladly pay the $17 for just the start this week. And I'm willing to wait it out going forward. I mean, that's kind of like what I would pay to stash somebody that I was interested in from as if they were available as a prospect and I had the roster spot anyway. So like, you know, that was my thought process. I think, you know, I agree with your logic as well. The last one I thought was Manzardo. Yeah. So I think this was interesting because like he was available in two leagues for pickup. So you can kind of get a little sneak peek for potentially next week when he's available across more, you know, more mains. I don't know how many he's actually stashed in right now, but he's stashed in at least two. And so he went for an average price of $176 last weekend. And, you know, I guess depending on what he does this week, you know, we might see that go up a little bit, might see it come back a little bit, but I think that's a good proxy for next weekend's price.
Without a doubt. I think that's definitely a good price. I think for me, I scooped him up in my auction league about 3 weeks ago for $8. It's a team that severely needs an upgrade at first base and didn't have many stashes, and even though my team was struggling, I was like, okay, I need to try to get out ahead of this, and hopefully he becomes that guy. And I think the question is for a lot of people is like, what is the true power output, right? I think we all know that he's got a great bat to ball skills. He doesn't strike out much, you know, doesn't swing and miss much, and that doesn't chase. He's just a good overall hitter. And I think it's just like, what will the power be? He showed it this year in AAA, even though I think many people have said it's like a very kind park for batters. And then like last year, he kind of struggled a little bit, had a shoulder injury. His mom was waiting for a heart transplant. I think like you can't put in, and I know that's like, you can't put that in any kind of, you know, objective, like, number. Like, that's just, it is what it is. But everything, like, else was pretty normal except for the power. So even if he was struggling a little bit mentally, like, everything was pretty consistent except for, like, driving the ball over the fence. It just wasn't there. Like, the launch angle, the exit velocities were the same. It's just, he wasn't hitting homers. So, I think that's the thing. If it's like a Steamer's got him as like a 21, 22 homer kind of guy, Steamer Secunders, I think 24 homers. Swing Graphs, at Swing Graphs on X, they're the guys who put out the data on like that it's going to come out soon on Savant. About, you know, swing path, and they do a whole bunch of research on bat angles and how that affects contact quality. I read their little book. It's pretty cool. It's very short read. It's like 60 pages, but it's all about like that stuff. Anyway, they had a tweet about him saying that he's very similar to Freddie Freeman, you know, like great bat the ball, good power, and like he could smoke it out of the park if he wants, but like a good approach, good swing plane, good bat. So it'd be interesting to see what he's going to pull out and like, and if he plays every day. I think that's the biggest thing. Kwan left and we were wondering what is going to be of it. And seems like Florio, they're now going to trust him in the outfield a little bit. Finally, I guess he's really bad in the outfield because they just weren't playing him there at first. But now he's let off, so that's another beneficiary of this with Florio. So that kind of like goes like hand in hand with this both of these ads.
Yep.
Did you get Mercado? Yeah. Do you have him stashed anywhere?
No, he's like one of the few guys I haven't stashed anywhere. We were talking about it in the ultimate when he was available. We got beat to the punch a couple weeks back, and I don't have him stashed. To be honest, like the one thing that I remember reading was like last year, they were saying that there was like a hole in his swing, like high fastballs he mm-hmm. couldn't catch up to, and he was getting kind of like just pounded there in the minors, and that they were suspecting that's potentially why his power had dropped, was that he just like wasn't getting balls that he was previously able to hit, and like you know, people were speculating like that's why Tampa kind of was willing to trade him for Savali, which, because you know, that's kind of like, you know, you raise an eyebrow when like a team like Tampa gives up on a guy that's like so highly touted for somebody right. like Aaron Civale, you know, right? Like, I like Civale.
Yes and no. I mean, it's not like Civale is shit. He's right. I mean,
yeah.
And plus, they have another prospect at first base who's already a beast. Isaac, I believe his name is. I don't know. I wouldn't put it all on Manzardo. I think that's a little unfair.
Okay.
And I think I think he did talk about this at first pitch, and he said a lot of it to do with pitchers experimenting too with like, you know, with the ABS. So there was like a specific type of pitch he was seeing often. I don't know. Who knows? I saw him with my own eyes, and the kid, like, I'm not a scout, but he looked like he could hit a baseball. So, mm-hmm. and I think, like, if you just got a 260 bat with, like, 20 home runs, that's pretty good, you know? But I am surprised, though. Like, Florial was only scooped up five times. I mean, six times. I mean, he's been leading off and playing, you know, like, and playing. So, I think that was kind of something you saw that was going to happen. So, I don't know. He was in all my bid list, but they sneak peek for next week, everybody. I was just shocked. He's the power speed guy there's an opening here, you know? So, I'm a little surprised at that. Because, like, you know they're not going to go back to Laureano. They haven't shown that. Like, he had, the last time he started versus a righty, before the day Kwan got hurt, was like in the middle of April. So he's Florio should be a nice big target this week as long as he keeps getting all these reps.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a situation where like people, you know, I think the announcement of Manzardo is made before Fab ran, so like that is now a guy that's going to be DHing, and I don't know, maybe people just didn't know how it would work with either, you know, like you said, Laureano or maybe Arias or Florial. You know, maybe just people didn't. I mean, at least for me too. Like, sometimes you just don't want to speculate. You kind of like want to see what they're gonna do first, or you know. And also, I feel like the Kwan injury, I guess that happened on Saturday, so you kind of had a sneak peek of what they were going to do on Sunday. Man, I don't know. I don't know. But
What else you got? What
well, all
else you
right.
got
Yeah,
here?
let's all right. Let's go. So the next highest guy was Daniel Hudson. So added in 53 leagues, average price of $52. So let's pivot to the closer spec. So obviously Hudson commanded the most money, kind of the Evan Phillips news threw a wrench into Fab kind of at the last minute, because it seemed like it was a week where there wouldn't be too much on the closer front, and then the best team in baseball's closer goes on the IL and creates a bit of chaos for the last couple hours, which is always fun. Obviously, the first save opportunity that came up this week went to Alex Vesia. So, and Hudson should have been available. And so I grabbed him in one league for actually, I grabbed him in one main for $47, back a bit of 46, which was nice. I needed saves in that league. Hopefully, Hudson gets them. And then I got him in my online auction as well. Did you get Hudson anywhere? Interested? No.
No. I actually speculated in a couple of spots on Michael Grove. He'd been on my list for the last couple of weeks, actually, just as a middle relief arm. I know. He came in the ninth, the first game. I don't know how they were gonna play it out, but that thing with Hudson still sticks in my brain, like the I don't want to be a closer thing, or I prefer not to be. The Trining return, I think if Trining had an inning lodged in and he was available for Fab last weekend, he would have been a pretty popular ad as well.
He would have gotten some hits.
Oh
Yeah,
yeah,
that's a good
he's
point.
still gonna get him. But my thing is though, how long are we expecting Phillips to be out for? Like 2 3 weeks? Is that it's
Yeah,
a
I
hammy?
was thinking like yeah, I was thinking like yeah, maybe like three to four.
Three or
So
four? Jeez.
yeah. Hey,
Bad hammies, huh?
you gotta make sure he's good to go on, but
Yeah.
we'll see what happens with him,
Is it?
they've had a lot of
I
injuries in
think.
their bullpen with like Joe Kelly going down
Yeah.
too. So
It just might
I
be
don't
like where everybody gets a piece, right?
match
This
up.
is gonna be,
Yeah, could
yeah,
for
it's
sure,
gonna
for
be.
sure.
Nabil Chrismath's gonna have three next week, and we're like, what the fuck?
Yarbrough will get two like 3-inning saves and everyone pulling their hair out. So yeah, it could get messy there. After Hudson, like I said, it was pretty quiet week in the closer front. So Alex Lang got added 30, but the one thing I thought was interesting about Hudson, so he was added in 52 leagues, but he was still dropped, or he was added in 53 leagues, but he still dropped in two leagues. So
That's
I found
wild,
that to
right?
be pretty funny. Yeah, but I looked at actually who was picked up like for those drops, and it was both like two start pitchers. So it could be like a situation where a guy was just like, I need starts, and maybe they had Hudson just as like you mentioned, like middle relief innings a prior week, or maybe get the news and they just already had their bid set and didn't update. So could be a couple of different things, but I thought that was funny. Added in 53, but then still dropped. So Alex Lang was the next highest closer spec, added in 35 leagues, average price of $24. And then the next one I thought was notable was Lucas Ursig, added in 29 leagues for an average price of $10. Yeah,
Lucas
Lang, I mean,
Ursig, the old resonator stream.
it's,
I
I
saw
mean,
his name in the top 70 on the Rasbowl streaming it, like picking up Ursig.
yeah,
Or maybe it was
well,
a
I.
double header, like figure you get a
Double,
save up,
yeah,
right?
double header. I didn't really look at Mason Miller's usage, but maybe it was a situation where they knew he might be down to
Right.
start the week, and then on top of that, the double header opportunity. And
Ursak's
truthfully,
been really good. He's been really good all year.
yeah, he has, and
I'm not shitting on him. I'm just saying sometimes you see like some
certain
popular pitch
names
of the
pop,
week and
right?
you're like, oh wait, like Listen, that's why those sheets are made. And that's why people like them. They go buy it a lot, you know?
But Lang, I had some interest. I had him like around $8 for a couple of these. I didn't get him anywhere.
Lights
Obviously,
out.
like, yeah, the he gets it done as much as I, shit on the walks and shit on the inability to throw strikes. Like, he's still, he's doing really well this year. And Foley, the velo continues to drop. Even this week, I think, or it might have been Tuesday night, Lang pitched the ninth inning, but it wasn't a save up. It was a four run game, so would have been curious to see who would have gotten the next shot with the save. But Foley's been struggling a little bit lately, so I get the spec. But there's a couple other guys there doing well as well with who's the lefty that you and I were talking about over the weekend. I forget.
Man, my brain is melted already.
All right. So yeah, so the closer spec's pretty light there.
Oh, Chafin?
Oh yeah, Chafin.
Chafe dog.
Yep. So.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's an interesting spot there, Tigers. It's already provided so much value with Foley, and I think that there's a pretty decent concern with him, even though he's still getting it done. The numbers are completely different. He's never had a problem with control in the last 2 years. Just been like, that's the one thing he's had over Lang, is that he fills up the strike zone and he attacks and he just looks a little different. So I think that velocity is a big concern. So I think the speculation on Lang and Chafin was warranted for sure, and those are just gonna be like, who can hold out the longest will benefit from it if there is something truly wrong with Foley. Like, you just may, like, I feel like a lot of times with these moves, and even I'm guilty of it myself, but I pick them up and they have this unrealistic expectation to see something in 6 days, and
Right.
then like it's not there. Like, I'd say I'm done with this guy,
Yeah, I
and then
know.
all of a sudden 10 days later they're like closing, or you're like, fuck. So
I know.
sometimes just trust what you do and give it some time, And
Right.
if you can't because you have too many other needs, then you try to. It is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, like the Neris thing is a good example of that, right? I had Neris in like every Fab League, and the only one I hung on to him on was our ultimate, where we had a need, and we both came into the season pretty anti-Alzolay, and like we just refused to drop Neris. Like we let it play out. Whereas, when I'm making decisions by myself, it's like that immediate gratification thing that you're talking about, where it's like, well, he's not getting close, he's not getting saves, and he's walking everybody, and he's not throwing strikes. Like, fuck it. Even though Alzolay's blowing saves, like Neris isn't doing anything to earn the job. Like, I'm moving on. I'm going elsewhere. So like, if sometimes you gotta be patient and see it through, like you're talking about. So, all right, so the next guy, John Means. So let's pivot to the injury returnees. So John Means added in 18 leagues, average price of $135. So he was available in some leagues already, which is why he wasn't added like as widely as you would think. But I think that's just because he was already owned.
No idea.
Looked good against Cincinnati. He was getting a lot of swing and miss. I was impressed. I know how you feel about Mean, so I don't think you're one of the people paying $135 for him, but what's your thought?
No, I mean, I was a little twisted on Means. I know he was available in some leagues the week before. And I know some people will pick him up or were interested in him and were talking about it. And I was like, like, I don't know. Like, I'm not really into John Means. And because you just didn't know what you were going to get. Do you think the small sample he showed last year wasn't it for me? But but also,
right,
you know, he was coming back from the TJ, and you know, obviously that first time around, you can't really expect too much. But also, then he hurt himself again this, you know, in spring training, so right. I was a little put off by that stuff, and he had it going. I mean, his first appearance, he was lights out, you know, and he got the changeup velocity back. He threw the slider more, and it looked crisp. It looked great. And I think what the changeup velocity did, too, was help it, you know, both that and the fastball play good. The fastball still hitting the top of the zone. So it looked great. And so I was still a little conflicted on him, to be honest, in this bidding period, because I don't know, you know, I just I had some reserve on it, so
yeah. I mean, I was interested. I picked him up in one league that he was available last week for, I want to say, like $30, just because, you know, the team context. I like, you know, people had mentioned the fact that like the park is like really seemingly tailor-made for him, at least the home park, right? And so, you know, my thought was, all right, like, I'll take the shot. This week, I kind of doubled that, where I was willing to go into the 60s and the leagues that he was available in. I think I got the cheapest ad of him, which was nice, because I rarely get the cheapest ad. I'm normally one of the people that overpays, so I got him for $61 in one of my mains.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, so I'm happy with that. Yeah. Couple more injury returnees. So we had Alec Thomas added in 25 leagues for an average price of $21. I grabbed him in one of my mains for $28, thinking I'm going to get 3 games in Great American Ballpark against righties, and then going forward he should be probably their everyday center fielder. And then today he wasn't activated from the IL, and I said, what the hell's going on? And then I see a report that he's going back to Arizona to get his hamstring looked at because he felt more discomfort. So he is probably going to be somebody that I will be sending back to the wire next week, unfortunately. Two more injury returnees, Johnny DeLuca added in 33 leagues for an average price of $16. Then Taiwan Walker added in 17 leagues for an average price of $18. Any interest in either of those two gentlemen?
Those two gentlemen. I got Johnny DeLuca in a lot of spots. Yeah, I'm excited for the profile.
Mm-hmm.
It was really just a speculation on whether or not Siri would start to see the bench more. Yeah. And it just made all the sense in the world to me that he would start not seeing time, because he's a great athlete and he's got loud skills, but yeah, it's just awful. Like 40% K rate. I don't know. I just really like everything about Johnny DeLuca too. Like, he's not a guy that strikes out. His K percentage has always been under 20% in the minor leagues. Always had really good WRC plus for the level. 111 max EV, speed, good defense, could play center. So it's a nice balanced profile. Was on him in, you know, a lot of draft champions draft this year. So yep. He's, you know, he's been in my watch list since that point. And you know, he's having great at bats. I've been like really tuned into all of his plate appearances now, and he looks awesome out there. And so I'm hoping you can just give me a nice solid outfielder for the rest of the season, you know. Nice power speed with an average that's gonna be okay. And yeah, so got him unopposed in most of the situations, but I'm fine with that. And No interest in the who's the other guy you mentioned?
Taiwan Walker.
No, zero.
Yeah.
zero time.
Yeah, I had some interest in DeLuca. I'm still kind of, again, curious to see how the playing time will shake out. I do think Siri like is not just gonna lose playing time like entirely. I think he's still gonna mix in, and they're gonna get even more crowded when Brandon Lau comes back, and you know Palacios needs to get some at bats. So, I agree with everything you said about DeLuca. My hesitation was like I still think it's gonna get that whole roster is gonna get a little crowded, and they have only a few like everyday playing time guys that get everyday playing time. But you know, like all these hitters that we're talking about, like if DeLuca's getting like 75% of the playing time, that's still really good for what you can get on FAB from hitters. Like you just really can't get full playing time on the wires, like at least what I'm feeling this year with my pickups. Yeah, why don't we just let's talk about a few of the pitchers and then a few guys that are getting some playing time pickup. So the next highest, actually, let me take a look really quick. The next highest guy after Means was Wenciel Perez, added in 39 leagues for an average price of $35. I mean, I think that's just a byproduct of, you know, he's picking up the Parker Meadows at bats that have gone by the wayside, and now Meadows is down in AAA. So I think Perez is going to continue to just get those center field at bats. He's hitting second or third. Looks good. I'll just list out a couple more. You can kind of talk about anybody that you were interested in or have anything to talk about. So Vidal Brujan added in 47 leagues for an average price of $27. Tyler Nevin added in 32 leagues for an average price of $34. John Singleton added 36 leagues for an average price of $22. Michael Massey added in 20 leagues for an average price of $34. Jorge Mateo added in 30 leagues for an average price of $23. And JJ Blade added in 31 leagues, like we talked about, for an average price of $14. So Perez, Brujan, Nevin, Singleton, Massey, Mateo, Blade. Any interest in those guys, or any, you know, thoughts on the playing time opportunities or their performance, or, you know.
Yeah, have Perez right behind Johnny DeLuca as a real big interest. I like that he switch hits. I like that he's got some power and speed. A lot of stuff I read about him is that he doesn't have a position. And that the fact that this is, again, I'm just probably reiterating what James Anderson has said a lot too. It's, you know, one of the reasons that I really liked Parker Meadows was that they didn't really have a center fielder in the organization besides him, you know?
Right.
And they're putting Perez there and they're giving him a shot. Like all the write-ups on him was pretty much, that was the bugaboo about him, was defense in general everywhere. So I think he was a former second baseman that they put in the outfielder. But no, I like the skill set so far, and they've showed the willingness to just keep him in there. So he was part of my bid list. I had a lot of Nevin in my bid list too. Multi-eligibility is almost getting first base as well. So it'll be three positions. He's battling the ball. He's playing every day for the A's. You know, how good, you know, PT on bad teams at value. So I had Nevin interest, of course. Singleton, I liked the skill set. I thought that it was pretty well balanced. Nothing really stood out, but it was okay. They didn't really have him in many high spots in my bid lines. Massey is the guy I got a couple of weeks ago, so he's the guy I was been playing and holding this past couple of weeks. Alec Thomas, I didn't win him in any leagues, but I was excited to definitely use him in my DCs. I cut him in a couple of mains too, so I tried to get him back. I just tried to get him back last week, and someone beat me to it. Blade, yeah, he just goes up and down, JJ Blade. It was you know, there's the JJ Bidet that's super hot and playing versus lefties and playing every day and batting at the top of the lineup. And then there's the one that's a fucking complete dud.
I know.
And you're like, oh my God, I can't wait to get the, like the guy on Thursday where I can't wait to fucking cut this dud, you know? And he changes too. It's not like he's one of those dudes you look at, you're like, ah, you know what? Everything's gonna come together. The BABIP is low. The zone contact's good. He's not chasing. Like everything looks good. No, when he's bad, it's like this guy's fucking awful. He fooled me again. Yep. So there's some inconsistency with his swings or his approach or something because it's literally so streaky, and
you just don't know. So much changes too, right? Yeah, yeah. It's like sometimes he's hitting for power, but he's just like very undisciplined. Like it's like he's sacrificing. Sometimes he's going to hit for power and he's sacrificing his plate discipline. And then sometimes he's, you know, cutting down on the crazy swings, but it's costing his power. And then with that, you know, then the playing time was getting kind of sporadic there for a little bit. So I've had him and cut him in leagues already this year, but yeah, it seems like they're kind of moving on from some of these, like the Seth Browns, Ryan Notas, even the Ruiz, like everyday PT's gone. It seems like he's just a strict short side platoon guy. So, and Bleday is, you know, at least for the last, like, you know, week and a half has been back to that every day center fielder for them. So, and they've been like a sneaky good offense. So, yeah, it's funny though. Like we were talking about how we couldn't, like last week we were shitting on Massey and just being like, why are we picking up these duds? And I look and he's got three homers in 15 games and it's like, all right, you know, so it's funny how it works. So,
it's a very small sample too, but like he's changing his approach a little bit, like with some, you know, at least executing on pulling for power, and hopefully that just keeps up. There's a lot to like about Massey.
Yeah. And Nevin, I felt the same way. He was one of the guys I really wanted this week. Just, you know, the versatility and playing, hitting second pretty much every day, but kind of got shut out in all my leagues for him this week. But, like, can't complain. You know, he was the sacrifice for my ability to get Scott everywhere. So, all right, let's just quickly look at some of the pitchers that were added. So a lot of the popular pitchers this week were two start guys. So, Patrick Sandoval added in 28 leagues. Logan Allen added 13 leagues. Jose Soriano added in 13 leagues. Bryce Wilson added in 27 leagues. Frankie Montas added in 12 leagues. Colin Ray added in 14 leagues. They're all in the 20 to 30 average price range. Any particular interest in those guys, either for the two start week on your side or just going forward? Or Kyle Gibson was another one too.
Yeah, Kyle Gibson was decent grab. He lined up for a really nice two step, even in OCs. Thought he was a decent, like, $1 or $2 target because nobody's looking at Kyle Gibson in 12 teamers.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Soriano, yes, I like him. I got him all across the board, and you know, when he first was announced to be a starter, so I've been holding on to him, playing him. So I like that call. The Montas call, I had him in a draft him in like about 3 15 team leagues. Was loving his start, was like happy about the speculation on hopefully some health. And then his velocity plummeted, he got fucking pummeled, and I cut him before he even got hit and hurt. And then now he comes back today and he's throwing the ball like fucking Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
So
I was gonna say,
I'm really upset about that. But
yeah, I didn't know. I don't know if you were locked in, but I was
seeing
the fastball below up like 3 miles an hour in his start today. So, but I feel like this comes and goes with him. Like, it, you know, like, let's see him hold it for a couple of starts. And you know, still got a pitch at Great American. So
yeah,
I know he's heavy ground ball, but you know, there's still a lot to for him in the show. You know,
Nicholas really got off to a great start today on his two-step. right? And until it wasn't. He was cruising through the Met game. And then in the fifth, he just ran into a whole bunch of problems. I think they had six or seven straight hits against him. But that was lining up to be a decent play,
right?
Until it wasn't. Logan Allen, I'm sure everyone was like, oh, wow, Logan Allen's available on the wire. I was like, if he didn't have a two-step this week, I probably would have dropped him. And now I'm officially done with him. He's one fucking big bag of shit to me now. And that's it. He looked completely lost. He's throwing
dead to you. Yeah.
Yeah, he's just throwing fucking meatball palms all day long. It just seems like a high school team could fucking slap him around like in the box. It's awful.
Yeah.
I see some people picked up AJ Smith Sharver. I like that move. The Spencer Arrighetti was also some good ads. I got him in a couple spots 2 weeks ago, so I like that. Yeah, a lot of decent pitching ads up and down. Even the Slade Ciccone's, I still like Slade despite the one like recent bad start. He's not walking anybody. He's gonna get some decent strikeouts. So I thought that was pretty good ad as well. There's some AJ Puck stashes.
Yeah,
all the way around, some decent. And I just noticed now that the Logan Allen, multiple Logan Allens got picked up. Oh boy.
I might have pulled some wrong Logan Allens into my pivot tables because it's just based on the name. So might be a little bit skewed there, but
Your fucking pivot tables are wonky.
Bryce Wilson's the one guy that we didn't talk about that I was kind of surprised. I saw the two start, didn't really add him anywhere, wasn't interested, but pitched really well yesterday. Seems to be like fully stretching out. I mean, he went five or six innings yesterday.
Six,
against Kansas City. Yeah, I mean, I thought he was strictly going to be, you know, a 2 to 3 inning reliever for the rest of his career, but getting another shot at starting, and so far so good. So let's see how he does in second start, and then, you know, there's definitely going to be a spot for him in the rotation for at least a while there in Milwaukee. So you know, nice pickup for those that add him. That was the one pit name on the pitching side that kind of popped for me. But yeah, I think we kind of covered all the interesting ads. I don't know if there's anybody else.
I just wanted to touch on a couple guys. Like, I really love these kind of ads. These are the kind of ads that I think that can really swing your league, or at least just your team, make you look. A guy like Leody Taveras, who was dropped and picked up in 8 leagues for as high as 58. We've seen this guy. We know he's a 15-15 player. He's got off to a pretty bad start on the surface, but underneath, nothing is really different, you know? And I just think, like, those are the guys that you're getting an everyday player who's good defensively, he's a switch hitter on a good offense. Like, those are the moves, I think, that when they come up in season, when you can get an everyday player that can really just bolster your team better than 17 streamers can do, you know?
Yeah.
Just like a nice, again, he's not sparkling, he's not sexy, and some may just think he's disappointing, but like, those are the ones, when you go underneath the hood, before you drop a guy like that, it's mostly due to like, he's not doing anything, you know? I would just say, just check it out before, you know, you drop him, you know? Because like, as good as a streamer as Will Brennan is, and on a lot of weeks, like, he went for more money than Leody, you know? And it's like, about the same. And it's just, one guy's a streamer and play, and the other guy's like a guy you could plug in every single scoring period. There was a couple of high bids, like, you know, those, like kind of like,
yeah, like those guys that are available in like one or two league, right?
Yeah, like the Luzardo, Jacob Young, Lane Thomas, Jose Alvarado, Junior Caminero, Kodai Senga, Tristan McKenzie, Brett Beatty, Matt Chapman. you know, I love looking at these one ads. Obviously, you know, there's not really much actionable shit. Just to see like how people value these guys who were either high picks or like Lozada went for 214. That was my league. The shared team I have with Dylan White, and we definitely need to pitch in. We lost Strider, Grayson. So there's a lot of impactful arms that we need. But I'm just really was scared away about the Marlins in general. That fucking team is awful. Maybe he goes on the move. Maybe he goes to a team where he can accumulate wins. But and also just his injury as well. I know he had that rehab start. But it's interesting to see like Jacob Young go for $20 or more than like Lane Thomas in the leagues that they were available. Like Lane Thomas is a top 100 pick who's a stud. That's wild. I know maybe people have questions about the MCL. That's fair enough. But Alvarado went for 229, Profar 227. So yeah. I just love seeing how much, you know, those kind of guys go for.
It's the it's like the psychology of it, right? Where it's like, you know, I'm always popping into my free agent like screens, and you know those it filters by percentage ownership, and like. So those guys that are, you know, 98-99% owned are staring you in the face for a whole fucking week. And it's like, oh man, he's only available in this one league. Like everyone's going to see this guy. Like what do I need to go to get him or whatever? Cause it's just hard. Like, you know, like for a lot of these guys, like Profar plays every day. Jake Byung's been playing every day and stealing a ton of bases. You know, like even Matt Chapman, I know he's not doing particularly well, but like he's been a power hitter and he plays every day and he's got job security. Like so it's kind of, you know, you have to just think about like, hey, what do I need to go to get him if you're really interested. So it's I like looking at that too, because that's like the struggle I have when I'm in those spots. It's like, what do I want this guy? If so, what do I have to go to get him, given the fact that he's only available in my league? I like looking at those two.
And on the flip side too, like the drops in between like maybe 7 or 8 to like 12 to 15 teams. So like not the super obvious ones, but not the ones that happen a lot, but just the ones that maybe like
are tough, choice. Right? Because exactly. Yeah. It's like, yeah, Steven Matz, 44 drops. Yeah, for sure. Like obviously like that's done, but like, yeah, like the ones that you kind of agonize over. It's like,
I see like the Tyler Freeman in like 8 leagues, which is weird to me because like he has 3 homers, I think 4 stolen bases, and he plays 2 positions, and he's playing at like 85% of the time, 90% of the time. You got Carlos Santana. I know he's not great, but he had a 7-game week too this week, and he. Max Meyer, you know, Heston Kerstad, Chris Bryant, Ivan Herrera. So people regret doing that last week. Jose Siri, all these guys, 10 leagues, 9 leagues. So, you know, just like borderline, like where, you know, they're either like, do you want to keep holding Chris Bryant and Kerstad? People saw the writing on the wall for Siri, maybe. Blaze Alexander got the old Toski.
I wish I gave him the fucking Toski. I was like, he was a guy, you know, I flagged all week. I'm like, all right, I'm finally moving on from Blaze Alexander. And then he plays
what color 3 flag games, you give them?
Like a tan, I would say.
It's tan,
like,
oh, the yeah, old like, tan one. Okay, I like the tan.
Yeah, like red is like, he's gone. Like Matt was a fucking red on Monday at like 2 p.m. But yeah, so he was like a... Blaze was probably a red, and then he as the weekend went on, he was tan, and then I decided, hey, you know what? Maybe they're gonna let him continue to play short because this guy keeps.
Sounds like you fucking lost a crayon on the weekend, Don.
Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, shortstop. Not even DH. No. Kevin Newman to be found, and then so I let him hang around, and then he hasn't played since. So what the fuck, you know?
What the fuck?
Next week, You gotta make sure I drop Blaze Alexander. That's gotta be the first question. But yeah, no, there's I think on. Yeah, there's some interesting ones, like, you know, like Jeff McNeil, Jake McCarthy. So yeah, excruciating dumps. That's what your
that sounds like. Something completely different than what I know you intended it to be. And no,
that's
when you eat something that you're allergic to or something comes out sideways, that's an excruciating dump.
Exactly. Yeah, so
that's pretty much the signal for this podcast has run its course.
Yeah, 100%.
Good stuff. All right, man. Hopefully we can get past the Wilson Contreras injury, just in our life in general. He's my third most offensive player in draft champion, so that's gonna be tough. They said 6 to 8 weeks. We'll see how long it is, but it's gonna be brutal fucking putting in like Jan fucking Gomes. Oh god.
But yep. I know. I had too many of both of those guys, but yeah, I know. It's brutal, but, you know, we'll make it work.
Don't draft catchers, Dr. Dave says, because they get hurt too much. Don't fucking get, you know, draft guys who throw fast.
Yeah, just draft Ryan Jeffers, DH and
catcher. Yeah. Or just don't play fantasy baseball. Could be another option. Fucking stick to golf.
Or just do enough leagues that you can diversify your catchers and...
I did enough league to do that, but you know, when your 55th ranked player is always there at 150, it's pretty hard to say no.
I know.
So what are you gonna do? All right, good stuff, right. Dom. Check out Dom at Bullpen Guru. I'm at Depth Hitter, and don't be a bag of shit. Peace.